to that yet, but I'm pretty certain you could get it bought and alley here for.
Yeah, but look how it is.
Well, maybe afraid of
what you want to do. I mean, if you don't like it, then you move. But I thought it was guaranteed for a year, but you're locked in for 2 years. If you quit before 2 years, you got to pay it.
Something. I don't know about paying. I mean, I don't have any intention doing that because I think it's going to be okay. But
they're the number one rated TV service in the country,
by the way. But, and I'm not defending them. I'm just saying that's what they're saying. But
mine's locked in for 2 years. That price is set for 2 years.
And after it, if I want to keep it a camp, I don't, all that deal. But
I know Suddenlink is, for me, they try to raise it every year, and I have to call and complain about it. Well, this time it was 6 months.
The worst.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know a lot about these new services you get from
Netflix and YouTube and all that stuff, but it
sounds like, you know, sooner or later, cable can be gone, but us,
they may be down there a long way gone, after I'm long gone, but
I don't know anything about that stuff, but
I think you're going to keep you.
And either the arrogance of the whole thing, the next day, I got a Thursday from the sideline.
When they brought it, they probably put the office on fire.
I believe there's more. That for me, there's far more entertaining things to watch on YouTube than there is on cable TV.
You know, you're probably right, Jack. I probably don't
take advantage of what it's on.
If you've got a smart TV, take a look at YouTube.
What are you seeing now? Other than the thing you can search for and do, which I do some, but where is it, on that app or something that's on your smart TV?
I'm going to click YouTube and start watching music, for example. If you like Ken Atkins, you can go on YouTube and listen to him all day. Oh yeah, I've done that. I mean, on music, and, well, I told you, I think so. I've learned more about gardening on YouTube than I've ever learned my whole life.
Fix your truck, you can find that on YouTube.
Yeah, or your refrigerator.
Yeah.
I went through that stuff.
We watched a lot more TV in the last 6 months since we got rid of Suddenlink. We watched PBS and YouTube. We enjoy it 10 times more, probably 100 times more than Suddenlink, because we don't watch it at all.
You just, what you got caused you to scream or what?
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we got a smart TV like Jack says, or Roku or whatever. You know, we got Roku on one of the TVs. But,
We just search for whatever we think we want to watch.
It's pretty good. Pretty interesting.
Of course, PBS got good programs. It depends on what you want to watch. You know, there's no football games on YouTube, I guess.
If there are, they're all. Well, I think, and I don't know how it works, but I thought that YouTube now has a TV that, I mean, sort of some kind of a standard TV, other than just watching, you know, things you can search for. I mean, some kind of regular programming of some kind. Is that a mistake about that?
You're right. They have a subscription service, but so far I just watch the freebie stuff. I don't know what you get if you subscribe.
Yeah, Netflix does that stuff too, don't they?
Oh, there's several of them that do it.
CBAW, Corey.
Hey, Norris.
Eric,
next to the house here, and I looked, I went and get the mail, and I had to look over, and what we call it, right? It's a little place where we got some flowers and bushes and stuff like that. There's my tulips coming up, and I walked in, looking all of them, and there's a handful of them. Looks like one of these deers has been nibbling on it.
Give them a few days, and they'll get the rest of them.
Well, I pray. Just getting that going.
I just planted them, let's say, last year, I guess.
Go on Google and look up deer homemade deer repellent. It'll tell you how to make stuff that'll keep the deer off, and it works.
The same stuff as in liquid paint?
That's right. Only $40 cheaper.
You just put in the spray and spray them on the paint?
Yeah, make sure you got to say it works.
You know, I bought some kind, I don't remember what kind it was, out of the tractor supply before I put my electric fence up. And I sprayed it around on
time. It didn't stop.
The main ingredient in it is rotten eggs. We put eggs, I think some garlic, some hot pepper, red pepper. Let it soak a few days out in the sun, and it works as good as anything we ever bought.
It works.
We do just grind it up.
No, you don't have to do anything.
Just let it sit in and just soak it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we don't put it in a sprayer because there's so much solids in it. It tends to, I guess you could strain it, but we just put it in something like a puppy jar with holes in it, little holes in the top, and shake it on whatever we want to protect.
Well, I like your sense words. I always call it engineering flag, and I use it to
straight up
plant it so well. Anyway, it comes in a roll like paper. Just break it off the side on stuff. You put them in the woods and stuff like that. Now, I put it around the top so it sort of flows around and stuff. It's real bright. I think that helps a lot. Keeps them jumping over and stuff like that, I guess. At least they don't get in there. But things outside the garden, though, I guess I'll have to make some of that repellent stuff.
But it works.
You better go buy something, because you ain't going to have no paint down for you in 2 weeks, so you better not in. How long is your festival work, Jack? Rain or stuff?
My wife, you know, we make it. When I say we, that means she makes it up every spring. A gallon of it lasts her all summer. You don't have to put it on very often.
Oh, geez, that sounds good. I'm surprised it lasts that long.
I learned, like, after heavy rain, you can redo it.
Heard of something, maybe. I don't remember who it was, but this was something new they came out with. This, I can remember, it puts off an electronic sound or something. You can just stick it in the ground. I don't know, maybe it's overpowered or something. I don't know. But it puts off a sound or some kind of something, so they aim at each other and they won't mess with it. And that's something I heard, I think, was new last year, maybe. Yeah, something similar, I guess.
Or those little horns you put on your bumper so you'll never get a deer.
Yeah. Y'all run into down here. I'll talk to y'all later on. Okay, so they took them.
Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Ed. I think I'm going to go to y'all. Have a good day. Can't be any other year.
Good morning, Tom.
Hi, Ed. Bye, Tom. Philip, you got all your stuff back running regular and fixed now?
Yeah, I just got to get my wall over to this guy. It's over there to come in late, so I need to get it.
the road. We did all the year. We're going to take care of things for you.
Well, we got everything committed. We got no money back yet. But,
Very
true. Yeah, but then, like I did that one time, we had a, well, I don't know if it was a pipe burst or just way too much water to handle, but we had a flood, and it ruined a bunch of stuff in the basement. You know, and we turned that in on the insurance, and once we got to check it in, they can't. Well, that's pretty nice. You know, have one claim. We've had one claim to do. Well, but didn't it help? You know, they mentioned the company canceled the company.
I don't know about that home insurance. I'm not sure about that. But
that's our insurance.
Unless it's in the last years.
They may raise your rates, but they cannot.
On cars. At least they could. I don't know about that. They could not cancel you because they tried that. My son has got a one ticket. And the insurance company I had canceled. And I called the insurance commissioner in state. He called them and stopped that in a second. Yeah. I mean, I don't. We don't know the law. We just. He told me we got all information and she did as a secretary. It wasn't long. They called and said he was all set. But he stopped and didn't deliver. Couldn't do it. At least he went to him. Well, that's good. Good to know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I don't know about houses, but that was every year ago for farmers.
And how to act with her, and she never climbed all over him. And he didn't scold her or anything. It's just, he didn't know what to do with her. Retired, John?
6 and a half.
Yeah, I just passed my 5 year. Doesn't seem like 5 years.
We may have doubled. I said it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it doesn't even seem like 5 years since I did. I just passed it.
Quiet.
Not that quiet.
You're right. But that big mouth you got.
Hey, hey.
Yeah, be careful. Be careful what you wish for. I'm down to my fighting weight.
Hey, hey.
You fat Albert.
Joe, I get a hold of you, I'd just sit on you.
You mean me?
Yeah, I'd just sit on you.
Really?
Yeah, I'd get a hold of you, just sit on you. Now, are you going to act nice, or you want me to keep sitting on you?
Uh-oh.
No, I don't want you sitting on me.
All right, keep hitting the lock button. So has anybody else came in or no?
Yeah, John's in there.
Who?
John, W-2-E.
John, W-2-E.
W-U-2-E, John.
I don't know, never heard of him.
Oh, come on.
Yep, good morning, Joe. W-U-2-E here.
How you doing, John? I got a rise out of Billy on that one. Yeah, it sounded good. You got a good signal on you. About 15 over. John, what are you into? You in Tanya? You had a digital modes, fusion, D-Star, Dumpstar, what else? DMR, you in any of that?
Yeah, I got a DMR rig in the truck.
I thought I seen you on DMR, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Usually I'm busy.
For 4 years, you won't get into it. Can't afford it.
Usually I'm BXW. Branch Electric, he's got an input right here in Manahawkin.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Tri-State.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of fun. It's fun when the band is dead. Like, the band's been dead? That's why it's so popular. That's why it got so popular, because the bands were dead. I mean, you did that DMR radio, Bill, and talk world, just like you're talking on the telephone. But I know you're not into it. I'm not trying to talk you into it. But, yeah, I enjoy it. What kind of rig you got in your truck, John? What you got, like a CS-800 or 800D?
I've got the CS-800, and I bought the 800D with that big touchscreen display, the outboard display. I got to get that all mounted in there.
Which radio? I got my box set a little quick, a little slow. Which thing?
You got an amp on, Joe? You're getting hard to hear.
I'm getting hard to hear? Okay, let me turn on. I'll be back in 3 minutes.
He's coming back in 3 minutes.
I thought I heard that.
Yeah.
No big deal. Anyway, I'll say 73 to everybody. Been a good net. And we'll look forward to catching everybody tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel, I guess. Anyway, again, 73, KD2EMQ, back to net control.
Hey, Tom, have a fun doctor with me.
Okay.
Okay, Roy, very good. And since we bring up Edison's name, I just wanted to tell everybody that Thomas Edison's grandparents were married right here in our church in town, the church that Diane and I belong to. So we've got quite a bit of history here in East Hanover. And I've got an actual copy of the marriage certificate right here in the bookcase. So that concludes all the information that Edison, and Edison is almost a relative of our family, and I have a lot of the old man's things right here in the bookcase, and so there's a lot of memories, and my father, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, and Diane's grandfather worked all their life careers at Thomas A. Edison Industries in West Orange, New Jersey. So Edison is a real popular name around this household. Roy, thank you very much for handling the net today, and after the net's over, I'm going to start my double duty of work around the house today. And first thing is get the kitchen back in good shape. Diane didn't leave it in too good a shape last night before we retired. So that's number one on the list, and already did one load of wash. So that has to go into the dryer. Again, Roy, thank you, and please say hello to Donna for me, W2DAR.
Ron, before you go, I wonder if you can tell me whether this is fake news or whether it's a fact about Thomas Edison. Yeah, Thomas Edison lost hearing in at least one of his years, and the theories out there is that when Thomas Edison was a young guy, he was a staff nurse on the train.
Oh, I have it here probably in about, I have about 12 Edison books here in the bookcase, and at least half of them have that item listed in it, and that's what said is what happened, but who knows, okay? We'll have to ask him when we join him upstairs, but he suffered loss of hearing pretty early in his lifetime, and one good thing is that the hearing aid that he used didn't need any batteries. What do you think about that? He was a great inventor, and his hearing aid never used any batteries.
Yeah, I hear that. He was a great inventor, no doubt about that.
This is W3GHO. I haven't been to sleep during the net time, like some folks do. So I'm still here. And it was good to hear Servio on today. I haven't heard him on in a long time. Thanks for taking the net today. And Thomas Edison had a lot of adventures. I guess best known for the light bulb and the phonograph and a few other things there that we all enjoy today and take for granted that was invented by somebody like that. So we'll just keep on using them, and I guess there'll be new inventions as we go along, too. Hope everybody has a good day. No sunshine here in Corey today. Not yet, anyway. And we'll see everybody next time around. W3TKR, W3GHO, 73.
73, Jay. Before you talk, I'll talk to you next time around. Have fun up there in good old Corey, PA. W3YNW, Bill.
Okay, Roy, W3TKR in the net, W3YNW. I, Thomas Edison, the wizard, wizard of Menlo Park.
And I think one of the things he was probably famous for, too, was the fact
that he and then
Westinghouse had over the AC voltage and DC voltage. But other than that, I think, yeah, he played quite a few things, and he was really a sharp person, that's for sure. So
our hats are off to him. In fact, when you go back in history, there's quite a few of them that were sharp. Tulsa, Marconi, and all of them. So some of them are different things that we're enjoying right here and now, tell you the truth, just like the radio. We have to more or less thank Marconi. But they all were very, very sharp. Anyway, wife's on jury duty today, so I'm here by myself and enjoying the peace and quiet, so to speak. The kiddies are all stretched out of sound asleep, so I'm not going to do anything to disturb them. Anyway, Roy, nice net as always, and enjoying being part of it. So that's up to you all around. Everybody stay dry and stay warm. W3GKR in the net. WA3YNW.
Ah, your wife's on jury duty. That's cool. Is that the only key, or are they in the jury picking stage? Bill, is your wife actually on a case, or are they in the picking stage for the jury?
Oh, she's, that's her first go-round today. I guess they're picking parts. I don't know. I don't know if she'll be home early or not. I hope she does, really. But this is about the fourth, fifth time she's been called for this. So maybe they'll get enough of her for after a while. Roy, go ahead.
Good luck there. I want to say, I want to jury duty for a murder case. I actually got to serve on the jury. And we convicted the guy of first degree murder. 67-year-old dude. And I have never done more listening as I did being a juror on a murder case. So it was a fantastic experience. I hope your wife finally gets to be picked to be on a jury. All right. Hey, this is W3TKR. We're on the Old Buzzers Radio Club desk. Does anyone else want to check in before I continue with round number two?
Go ahead, AMC.
All right. I'm losing him. He's up and down. He's getting a little on the weak side. Thank you. W3 AMC here in the multitude is the Old Buzzers here today. On a very gloomy, gloomy day, we only went up 1 degree. We're up to 43. Well, I can tell you, good to hear everybody here today. I went on the website, and I checked the Old Buzzers book. I can do everything to it, but I cannot bring the membership list down at all. I cannot get it to work at all. I can bring up the everything else, the gallery, you name it, but membership, no. It does not allow me to bring it up on the computer at all. I see as they say, net control thing, that's up. Everything else comes up like that. I push that. It says to go click here to get membership. Boop. Does not work. What else? Oh, I had another comment. Anyway, I should have made notes on it. So there you go. I did not, and I was busy playing with that as well. So you all take care, have a wonderful, delightful day, and enjoy and partake there of what comes about. We're going to bid you all a wonderful, delightful day. W3AMC Prayer Put Listening.
Okay, Dave, you're a wonderful, delightful day. Radio from that. 3 trail in.
we're still here, N3CRP here. Well, I did log on to the site as much as I did not want to do that, and everything works. My membership does work, and I did email the copy of the list today. Anyway, for those of you who are not being able to get it, go to the page and hit that little recycle. Refresh the page and see if that works. 9 times out of 10, I have that problem with my website. When I upload it, they call me back and say, hey, it's not updated. Well, refresh that page, and I think you'll find it'll work just fine. So that's it. Back to you. This is N3CRP, 73.
That's the way it goes. Thanks for being there, Joe. Thanks for sending out the book. I appreciate that. Talk to you tomorrow, I'll be sure.
73 SCD, Senator, you're up.
X-ray Echo Radio.
Kilowatt Bravo 3, Delta November 0.
My name is Scott Sierra Charlie Oscar Tango Tango, and I'm located in Barrington, New Hampshire, a little town just inland from our seacoast. How copy? Over.
Well, Scott, you are banging in here to my receiver in Milford, Pennsylvania. The call is W3PKR. The name is Roy, and you have stumbled upon the old Buzzards Radio Club net. How are things up there in New Hampshire this morning? Have you gotten out to vote yet?
No, not yet. We got 34 degrees, kind of drizzly, and not a good day to go out, but I will go out and vote, that's for sure. But I heard you guys in there and just wanted to make my presence known. Can I have a signal report, please?
You are 5 and 8. You're 5 and 8. Sometimes peaking at 9. Go ahead.
All right. Very good. Thanks for having me. I'll let you go get some more. I know you guys were wrapping it up, so have a great day from W1XDR.
Hi, we're here every Monday through Friday at 9 o'clock on this frequency, and Saturday we're on 3904, and you're welcome to check in anytime, Scott. Thank you for being there, and we're up there in New Hampshire. KB3DNZ, hey, Sam, what's going on?
Yeah, there you go. Hi, Roy. KB3DNZ here. That's New Hampshire station coming in between Pennsylvania. Just a little feedback. Good signal, strong audio. Hey, what the heck is going on, Roy? I'm getting here at the end of the net, so I'm glad I have an opportunity to pick it up with you and say howdy. Hope you're doing well. And thanks for taking the net, even though I missed it. I said, I'll catch you around the next time. KB3DNZ, it's the other way around. W3TKR, KB3DNZ.
Well, when you checked in, Sam, your signal was kind of low, but now it's come right back up. Did you turn an amplifier on, or are you just talking louder?
Yeah, probably so. I have a tendency to yell at this mic. I probably shouldn't do that. It's probably doing just fine on its own, Roger.
You're doing just fine. Good to hear you, Sam. Yeah. We've been talking about Thomas Edison, and it's his birthday today. And we've been just shooting the bull, as they say, here on the Old Brothers Radio Club. But if you got in here, though, better late than never, right?
Yeah, there you go, Roger, for sure on that, Roy. Okay, I didn't know it was Thomas Edison Day. But I have a lot of respect for that fellow, I have to tell you. He went through, 14,000 failures before he found the right one, Roger?
Yeah, it sounds like the way some people do with marriage, right?
Yeah, there you go. You have to respect the person who gives it all until they find a solution. Okay, you're sort of dropping into my noise here, Roy. Good hearing from you. Nice chat. Again, thanks for taking it in. I'll get out of here. 7-3's for now. W3TKR, KB3DS. See you later.
Hi, Sam. Good to hear you. And anyone else want to check in the North Brothers before I close it down, call W3TKR.
Kilo Brothers 3, Tango, Kilo, Tango.
My God! What a raw feeling! What did you do there, John? Did you pump it up to about 2,500 watts or what? KB3TKT, W3TKR. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Roy, and everybody else who's left. Nope, just using the Yaesu 450 and the random wire and 100 watts, and that's the whole deal. So hope you're doing well up there. We're hanging in down here. We're starting to do a little bit of looking around to get another dog, but so far the results have been highly disappointing. So we'll continue our search and fiddle around and see what's going on. I'm starting to, at first I was more, we should get another one fairly right away, and my wife was hesitant. Now my wife is more, maybe we should start looking for one, and I'm getting fairly hesitant about it. So we've switched poles. The poles, the gravitational north and south have reversed. So we'll see what transpires here. But rainy down here, I guess like everywhere. I wish we'd have some snow because this mud and rain is absolutely sickening. You can't do a darn thing out in the yard, even if you wanted to or needed to. And it's just a mess. You come inside and the carpets are messy. And you got to keep throw rugs around the front of the doors because as you're walking in, if you were outside, you got so much junk stuck to your shoes. And just gloomy, not cheery at all. At least if it was just cloudy without the rain, it would be nicer. But with this constant drizzle, it goes right through to your bones. KB3TKT, back to W3TKR.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of the rain, too. Definitely. I don't know, John, if it were me, I'm just talking for me, I would probably wait a little bit to get another dog. You're never going to find one that's like the dog you had. And so you have to look for a dog that, I don't know, just has the right, I don't know. I never really bought a dog myself. I've gotten one except for when my kids were little. But you'll know it when you find it. And sometimes it's best, like when you're when you go through a divorce or when your child dies, you don't jump into another one right away. You wait. And then when you find the right one, you'll know. Well, I wish you luck with that, John. And, you know, I agree with you, the rain, I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. I want to see a big snowstorm. Or I want there to be sunshine. But this rain is constant, drizzling rain. Sometimes it goes into a period of heavy rain for a short time. But it's just very dreary and very down, you know. So, but we'll get out of this eventually. Good luck with your search for a dog, John, if indeed that's what you're doing. And I'm sure you'll find one. And I'm sure the dog that you find will bring you lots of love and lots of joy and lots of entertainment and companionship. So I wish you lots of luck with that. Go ahead.
Okay, Roy. Thank you very much.
All right. John has the tail feathers. Does anyone else want to check into the oldest president? Radio Club that before I close it down. W3. Today.
Well, did he call me again?
Yes, I did, Sebio. Go ahead. W3SCB. You're up.
All right, because you're fading away over there, and I'm here reading something. I didn't hear you. Maybe I got my head reading up on this thing here. But anyway, everybody have a good day, and I'll try to be here tomorrow. I got to get going. Got to run outside anyway. So 40 degrees it went up to. Wow. And it's cloudy. No rain. I think it's dissipating. It's going on. So all that rain has went to the east and down in the south, and I hope it doesn't come back up for a couple of days. For until next Monday when I go back to work. Everybody keep smiling, make people wonder what you've been up to, and always remember your worship. You worship Jesus Christ. God bless. Thanks again, Roy, for being there. Everybody, take care. 73 from W3SEB, Goldsboro, Pennsylvania.
Enjoy your time off work there, Sebio. Always good to hear you from Goldsboro, PA. Thanks for checking in. Anyone else want to check into the old Buzzers Club? Call WPDR. All right, we have 18 seconds today. Wow. I haven't seen 18 in a long time. Don't forget, WPDR will be your next control. And I'm going to be there, and I hope you will be too. Don't forget to give a hug and a kiss to someone you love, someone you care about, or someone you want to love and care about. And spread a little love around this whole world. This is W3TKR, now closing down this session of the Old Buzzers Radio Club, and returning 3905 back to General Assembly of the Youth at 10:17 Eastern Time. 73.
Servio, just to let you know, your modulation is a little over 4 kilohertz wide.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah, you might be hitting it a little bit hard.
Well, my AOC is 3/4. I'm not out of ALC, and they told me I was wide up and down the band. I got to figure out how to use this radio more, so maybe I can back it down a little.
Yeah, it's 4.2 right now, just looking at it. Okay, very good. Have a good day, Servio, W2DAR.
All right, Ron. Take it easy. We're going to run out of here. We'll straighten up a little bit on the workbench and make a room and situating things here in the shack. So we'll be listening. Oh, we're going to go QSY to 3812. Just listen over there to some of the guys. Thanks again. W3SEB.
Happy day.
Hey, Ron, before you run.
I'm here.
Yeah, W3AMC. How wide am I? I'm just curious with this crazy thing. I'm just running everything for Tom right now. Go ahead.
Okay, 2.7.
That's what I figured the filter was. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I can see it clearly. I have a good spectrum analyzer here, so it's easy to look at everybody's signal. And how's Terry doing today?
Oh, pretty good. She's down there crocheting an afghan. And you wouldn't believe what color she's using. Unbelievable.
You staying dry over there?
Yeah, we are trying to stay dry. We have not been. The only time we've gone out was, and we got lucky to get to go grocery shopping, was when it wasn't raining on Saturday. And Sunday wasn't too bad. We got to church and back here. And since that, we haven't been out there except to take Daisy out. Other than that, that's about it. We've been pretty much staying in. It was all done last week and things of this sort, so there you go. Hey, Tom wants to go down to Florida. He can take the train, Amtrak, and he can buzz along about 100 miles an hour. Once you leave Baltimore, Washington area, boy, that brings you picked up speed, right?
Yeah, that's That's probably a good idea. Although I've also heard some trains are looking for IDs. They're IDing everybody because somebody on a train can do something really bad and affect a lot of folks. I'm going to get the day underway here, David. Diane has her cold back again, and it's really hit her hard again. And so I'm working double duty today and get things done around the house here. Have a good day. Talk with you tomorrow. I've got the net tomorrow, W2DAR.
All right, well, that was quite an experience, and my first time taking somebody down to the one in Baltimore, John Hopkins one. I've been to all the others with other people and helping them and things of this sort and whatnot. But I can tell you this. I got Will's Eye Hospital down in the back of my head. I can close my eyes and walk around that one from taking Terry and some other people that had to from here from the association. So there you go. That's about it. Catch you a bit. Take care. And all this other good stuff. W3 AMC Kerr.
Okay. Talk to you tomorrow, 7-3.
You can forget about it, because I'll break your neck. And I meant that, Bob.
And my son that passed, the one who was a police officer out in Philadelphia, he would tell he would tell his son, "You better be glad you weren't raised on my dad, because it wouldn't work for your grandfather to break your neck with some of the stuff you did." And he had all my my son came out really had the best of careers that the two that's remaining. And so I'm real proud of him. But yeah, you're right. It all depends upon how you raise in the home, man.
So like I said, Mama,
when we got in trouble, and there were four of us, our boys, that is, but we got in trouble, the one we were fearful of was my mom, man. Now, if she said, "I'm going to let your daddy handle this," you knew that you were going to be in the house, on punishment, until he got tired. And Bob, that man, I loved him dearly, never got tired, man. This is WAUTC. Lance, go ahead.
Okay, guys, carry on. I'm just looking at this stuff. And, carry on. I'm going to go to
the gate up here. Roger, roger, roger. Okay. Who's the contact? Sir, what can I do for you? Say that again.
Meanwhile, my
my father told me that he ended the conversation by saying that if I thought that she was, that we were having a hard time, he said that my grandmother was an old lady now and she wasn't nearly as tough as she was when they were kids. And I asked him, I said, what do you mean by that? He said, she tell you to do something one time, and if you didn't move fast enough, you find yourself crawling out the corner on the other side of the room. He said, because she did not play. He said, so he's not, at least now, he talks to you, and he'll almost reason with you. So, you know, he said, the only thing you can do is just go ahead on and do what she tells you to do, and remember that she's doing it for your own best good there, over.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, Bob, our parents, man, I remember my mother one time, but she had told me and my brothers to do something, and I had to be the wise mouth. And she said, what did you say? I said, nothing. She said, I heard you say something. What did you say? I said, nothing. And then here it comes, Bob. Then I'm lying. And oh, boy, now you got yourself behind an eight ball. So I remember those days, Bob, and I'm grateful for them every day, man. Every daggone day, I'm grateful for the way that my parents raised me, my brothers, and my sister. So that's the way it is. All right, man, look here. We've spent 130 whole minutes chit-chatting and reminiscing and enjoying, and it's been a lot of fun. And always a pleasure. And again, thanks for what we talked about on the text message. And I'm going to get up and go and get me something to eat, man. I just found some good news pertaining to my wife. So everything came out positive with her on this last exam. So I'm happy to hear that. So I think I'll go and probably make breakfast for her this morning, Bob, before it gets too late. So take care, my friend. Tell Gretchen to Becky and I send out that way. And hey, and enjoy the rest of the day, okay?
Okay, Art. Let's see, 10:30, 11:30, about an hour or so from now. My daughter's appointment is 1:15, and it's about 20 miles from here, so I'll be driving around there. But she also told me to bring all of my taxes and stuff with me, but she also does my taxes. But, you know, it's good, you know, and I look back at all the stuff, you know. I joke about eating oatmeal, and I still drink milk. I told you a story about living with my grandmother, and then we went into town. I came back to my grandmother's and I asked her what we were going to have for breakfast. And she said, well, you know, go back, go next door, get some milk from Miss Rebecca, can I have cornflakes? And I've been eating cornflakes and drinking Miss Rebecca's milk now for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And all of a sudden, you know, I went into town. I'm a little bit older. And I heard that word, pasteurized. Yeah. You know, they were talking about milk being pasteurized and all the other good stuff. And so I go back to my grandmother and tell me that, and I said, well, I can't drink that milk. And she said, why not? I said, because it hasn't been pasteurized. You know, she was ready to haul off and smack me upside the head. Pasteurized. She said, how do you spell it? She said, listen, boy. She told me, dummy. She said, out here, we know what the cow eats, where the cow eats, and all that. That stuff that you get in the city is not milk. You know where it came from. But, you know, just carry your little silly self over there. She said something else, but... Got older and got to be a little bit better in the game because of life. I realized that
Hey, my grandmother was out to be late. Anyway, WGCC and the group just came to jam me.
Roger, I don't see about 6 minutes. I'm sending you.
And I don't know, if it didn't start right away, I would twist the accelerator, which is probably the worst thing you could do to start a fuel-injected motorcycle.
Yeah, it's funny when you all see these new Harley riders and old ones. They'll come up to a red light, and they'll have straight drag pipes on it. Now, it's a newer bike, so it's fuel-injected. But they keep burping the throttle like it's loading up.
Yeah, well, I do that, but I just like doing it. I got straight pipes. Everybody knows it on my block.
Nice.
Well, it is a safety thing, you know. They'll hear you coming.
Now, how come you don't point the pipes toward the front wheel? Wouldn't that be safer? The sound is going where you've been.
Yeah, well, it's still the sound is in front of you, and I got recordings to prove it. I've heard that that line of debunking.
I'm just playing.
No, but I'm just saying too. There's one guy that's his shtick, and he's known all over the internet about loud pipes. I'm not saying that's the most important thing in the world, you know, but my firm belief is, you know, you check off list, and it's in there somewhere. It's down, maybe low, but when you're doing everything else you can. which few people do, including myself, to stay safe. The loud pipes are another something. Oh, no. Not, you know, to the point where they're obnoxious, but something, you know, it's nice, because I've had people, you're ready to pull out, and they hear it, or a kid getting ready to run out, chasing a ball, and they hear it, and they decide they don't want to do that, so, which is a problem with an electric car, so. You got to really be careful in a neighborhood when you're driving a silent vehicle and the tires aren't making any noise. People tend to walk out right in front of you and not realize you're there.
I was watching a video on hearing, and they said that motorcycles can be the silent killer of hearing. I know guys that actually have custom earplugs they put in before they go riding.
Yeah, that's true. Even with a helmet on.
Yeah, yeah. You see these guys riding with pipes and no helmet. I'm like, you're going deaf, buddy. Exposure limit's like 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah, well, in addition to that, even loud pipes, the wind noise, if you don't have a windshield, overcomes the noise. You can't even hear the pipes. Under normal circumstances, I'm going down the road at 70 miles an hour, say, and I'm on my Harley. I can't even hear those pipes unless I goose it. The wind noise is the main thing I hear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's through the roof.
Yeah, my son's got a Honda Goldwing, and it's as quiet as any car. Six-cylinder. You don't even think that engine's running. Then it's a six-cylinder. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, well, that's considered the best tour bike ever made, and the new ones are... I don't know where the new ones fit in, because they lean towards sport now, but...
So I have this old Honda Accord, as you know, Bill. It's my beater car, my beloved hoopty, and from fill tank to fill up, I'll get anywhere from 22 miles to the gallon to 30.
Yeah.
Well, that's been a real head scratcher, and I always thought it was, well, it was open highway driving or around town.
Well, if you're doing around town, you're not warming that engine up, and it's on a rich condition most of the time.
Well, this thing, I'll drive a mile, and the engine will be up to temperature.
That can be your oil. It takes time to heat your oil up, you know.
Well, I finally tried something, and I put high test in it. And I'll be darned if my fuel economy is showing symptoms of being really, really good.
Then I'll be darned. I know since they started putting instantaneous fuel mileage on cars, any fuel-injected car that I've had before they come up into your they really suck.
Mm-hmm. So I get I can tell when I'm going to get 30 miles to the gallon because each quarter tank will be good for 100 miles. So at the halfway point, I should be at the 200 mile mark. And right now I've gone 100 miles, and I have more than three-quarters of the tank left. So we'll see. I spent six more dollars on the high test than I did the El Cheapo. But it's probably going to be worth it.
Maybe you got some deposits on your cylinder head or top of the pistons that producing a knock that you don't hear, and it's retarding the timing.
Yeah, it could be it. You think the high test would burn that off?
No, the high test isn't knocking.
Oh, yeah.
But retarded timing will really mess it up.
But the engine does seem quieter.
Yeah, you give it a drink of water.
Yeah.
Put some of that, what do you call it in there? Burn it in tanks of that Marvel Mystery Oil. Cleans that stuff out, too. A couple drinks of cold water.
Mm-hmm.
You got to watch your eye. You know, I did that a long time ago to a small block Chevy that had a lot of miles on it, and I knocked a piece of the carbon off an intake valve or something. Anyway, it got jammed on the top of the piston, and I had a carbon knock. I thought I cooked that engine.
I'll be back. I got to let Tori out. Me and you, too.
Yeah, all right, John. Come on back.
Yeah, one of our managers at this one job I had, he was a salesman manager. He had a company car that had a rod knock, and that certainly was it.
A cup of water down the intake.
Yeah, it sounds just like a rod knock.
It was back in the 80s, so it was a two-barrel.
Yep. Anyway, I was just a kid then, and guy across the street was a mechanic, lifelong mechanic, and I got him over. I said, listen to this crap. So I fired the engine up. He went in, looked at the oil pressure, which I had already done. And he said, and I explained to him what I had done. He says, that's a carbon knock. He says, you got crap on the top of the piston. He said, it'll go away. And it did. Might have something like that going on where you got a build up of carbon in a combustion chambers or something. You got a hot spot somewhere, and it's getting it's creating a knock and retarding your timing.
Mm-hmm.
And that would cause fuel mileage between high test and regular, because that car was built for regular, I believe. Anyway, that's my two cents. If it's that drastic, I would feed it some water, or some ATF down the carburetor, or down into the fuel inlet, tap end in an inlet somewhere on a vacuum line that's fuel injected. So, well, I don't know. You might be just better off putting some of that Marvel Mystery Oil in the tank, because with these, as you know, with these fuel injected vehicles, some of them have different intake tracks, and you could get some of that oil or water or whatever laying in the wrong spot in an intake track, and then the next thing you know, the engine takes a good gulp of it, and you both bust a piston.
Mm-hmm.
Try some of Marvel Mystery Oil in the fuel for a bit to clean it out, or some fuel injector cleaner or whatever to clean it out. All that stuff will knock that crap off the pistons and out of the combustion chamber. ever take that thing up on the expressway and just drop a hammer on the accelerator and go for it a couple times, Chucky?
Oh, this little Honda? Yeah.
Yeah.
A VTEC, baby, this thing hooks up and flies.
Yeah, I would try something in the fuel. All it takes is one little piece of carbon that's getting red hot.
I'll be getting on the interstate, and I'll be merging, and I'll look, and there's a whole pack of cars coming. So as I better get up to traffic speed, so I'll put the hammer down, and you know the VTEC will adjust the valve timing, and that thing wakes up.
Oh yeah, it's an impressive engine.
And doing 65, it tacks about 2,000 RPM.
Oh, yeah.
And my wife's CRV has the same exact engine.
Their tuners love those engines. Take that engine and throw a blower on it and push a lot of boost through it and tune it, put an outboard fuel injection computer on it and then they'll run the hell out of it until it spits out something it needs and they'll go find another one and do the same thing to it. They'll do some little bigger throttle body and this and that and the other thing. Just a couple bolt-ons. Put a blower on it and run it until it pukes and then go get another engine and do the same thing. So I say you're going to watch what it means. You wouldn't think that a car thief would want that car, but they do. Old car, nobody want it. I'm not going to worry about it. Park it any old where and do any old thing with it. Next thing you know, where'd my car go? Somebody needed the engine.
Well, gentlemen, I'm going to have something to eat.
Oh, no, not that. Food?
Yeah, food. You know, I don't know. I think it's the most important one you could have is the breakfast.
I'm guessing.
Plus, I gotta make sure the XYL's eating.
Well, you definitely gotta do that.
Then 2GBF clear. Later.
All right, Getty, good hearing you. See you later.
All right, we'll see you later.
Dentron and the amp supply and all, and he verified a lot of what I thought amp supply was Denny Dentron.
Did amp supply get sold as Ameritron?
I don't know. Dave probably wrote an email about that too. I got to get back to him, but I read it. He just worked on one of those DTR 2000s with the 8877 in it. And a nice little article he wrote. I'll forward it to you if you like.
Yeah, I'd like to read that.
Yeah.
Bobby had one of those years ago, and he was saying the play transformer's anemic, and I was talking with Dave the other day, and he said that the filament transformer wasn't regulated enough, it would shorten the life of the 8877.
Yeah, well, rumor had it... I remember some years ago, he increased the filament bonus once he was worried about it being a little high to increase emissions altitude. I don't know. Anyway, Dave went over that because he just worked on one, and I'll forward it to you. And, yeah.
That'd be a good reading.
Yeah, it's short and sweet, but it's good stuff.
What's the plate voltage on your AL-82?
I don't have an AL-82.
But, oh, okay. AL-1500, what's your plate voltage?
Don't know.
Well, the meter doesn't work?
Well, I haven't run so long, I forget.
Okay. I'm thinking about upgrading this Henry 2K Classic.
All right, that thing's in your mail.
Okay, thank you. I plugged in the Henry 2K Classic the other day and let the thing cook for a couple hours to make sure the moisture would not be accumulating in the bleeder resistors, you know. And that thing is, you know, about 3,000 on the plate, but it still rattles. Even though I repotted the transformer, it still has a buzz to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I cut a 1-inch thick rubber foam pad. I'm going to put that under the transformer.
Yeah, put it on in between the washers, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a step a lot of people forget. They're still transmitting through the bolt if you don't put padding on the washers as well.
Well, I'm not going to bolt the transformer in. I'm just going to sit it on there as an experiment.
Way too hot on the laptop.
Try the Lenovo.
Oh, that's you?
Yeah. The mic setting just for the mic itself under Windows was way hot, and I went off frequency and backed it down to where I could see it on the, you know, on the bar up there, and it probably worked fine now. The other one, the other laptop works. I was talking to Artie first thing this morning.
Yeah, see, mentioned you were out here. Okay, cool. all right. So what was the story with the Lenovo? Were you able to use it?
Well, yeah, I'm sure it's fine now. I didn't try it here. There was nobody. I just went off frequency and was testing the setting the level on it. You know, you can see the audio mic level, you know, at the top of remote server through the client.
Okay. Yeah. Boy, it's been a while since I've been on that. I may have to go and check it out. Yeah, because I've just been on the one on the phone, and haven't been on the one on the PC in a while. But, yeah, all right. So I was wondering. So now to do remote, you've got to use the Windows 7. And now do you have, like, two computers to do your, you know, browsing and everything? I guess you set up that 7. Is that also, you know, what you're using for surfing?
Well, I can, but I have two or three other ones sitting here behind me and two laptops upstairs. We've got plenty of computers.
Okay. So in other words, you could dedicate that Windows 7 job for your remoting.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm not changing it. That one's going to stay 7. I'll play with that 10 and see what's going on. Maybe I can figure out what the headache is. I got a sneaky suspicion it has something to do with Uno and console in there. Something's, you know, corrupting it.
Well, that's what I noticed with when a stream on Facebook. It's like, you know, I had I was able to at least stream the camera and get some, you know, like to just go live. But when I put in Uno or any one of those SDR programs, all of a sudden I go and it says cannot find camera. I said, what the? It seems, yeah, there was something that Uno and Console 3, they, when you bring them up, in other words, if you go and you get Facebook on first, it will find the camera and then put in the SDR programs. You're okay. But if you start with an SDR program, then go to Facebook, all of a sudden it cannot find the camera. So it does have some effect on other programs.
Well, remember that PCC 1200? I had that conflict with HDSDR trying to get the com port. The two of them were fighting, and once I flushed them out of there and reloaded the PCC 1200 back in, it worked perfectly.
Yeah. And that's still working. Yeah, I went back there to make a little adjustment on the audio. I did put the rubber cushion there on this boom. You know what it's coming from? I have a big 35-amp Astron supply, a linear supply, not too far away. I should really move that to get that out of the way. I mean, that takes up so much room, and, it, you know, it's just producing the 12 volts. So I think it's picking up the hum from there. But I'll end up moving the supply out of the way.
Yeah, they're good supplies. I got 1, 2, 3. We got 4 of them here.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I got a 20 amp also. That's for the 2-meter rig. Yeah, oldies but goodies.
Oh, no, make that 5. I forgot the 2-meter rig. Yeah, I got them on the eBay for like 30. You know, they weren't working. Most of them, they're fixing them. And, you know, for, yeah, some of them, like 30 years old, and the only thing that's wrong with them is, you know, somebody shorted the one, the crowbar SCR was shorted in it, somebody shorted the output, and it did its job. It didn't smoke anything else, but, yeah, they work pretty good. I just leave them on here, the one on the rig and the one on the 2-meter. I never even turn them off.
Right. That's the right way to do it. Yeah, keep it going. Keep it going. That thump is not going to do it any good. Of course, he'll survive that, all right. But, yeah, just keep them going. And they just keep on going.
Yeah, so you guys have the fog up there, huh?
Yeah, it's a gloomy one. It's gloomy. 43 degrees, not bad. Tomorrow is going to be, I guess, the only good day of the week. But it is, foggy, cloudy.
Thursday or Friday,
not a very pretty day.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I guess I doubled with you. Yeah, it's foggy. It's crummy.
Yeah, I said it's supposed to get down in the mid-20s for a high during the day by Friday or Saturday.
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah, yeah. Well, we still got plenty of wood. And I was just looking at the pile out there. I said, yeah, just about enough to, you know, to get me through the season. You know, if I just got to go, you know, once you get through March, we should be, oh, man, I'll tell you, almost halfway through February already.
You mean your wood pile's getting small after all those trees that came down? And there was another station in there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's just how much that was processed. Another station there, KB1AL here.
Oop, guess he didn't stick around.
Yeah. So, all right, on to the next challenge. Well, the next challenge will be to set that up at the cabin, I guess.
No, I think the next thing I want to do, they do have on that VPN that I'm using, they say you can, you know, they have instructions how to put that on an Android device. So I think first thing I want to try is to see if I can get it on the tablet. I think I know enough about it to be able to follow it through without too much stress.
will slow you down on your connection.
What, the Android will?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Any VPN is going like a half half speed, whatever you have right now.
Oh, I have to use. I have Hamachi on this. I don't have a choice. If I don't put that on, I can't forward ports.
Yeah, use that IP Vanished. It's kind of close to us, and it's New York City. So it's kind of IP Vanished basically nobody's going to know who you are, you know, when you use that one.
Yeah, you're not following me, Mike. I have AT&T Wi-Fi cellular. I go through the cell site for my Wi-Fi. If I try to use a standard VPN, and I have ExpressVPN here, I cannot forward ports. They block port forwarding through their site. So I have a tunneling remote control VPN, Hamachi, and that allows me to get into the server here and bypass their blockage.
Okay, yeah. Because the regular VPN, they won't support any port forwarding. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I talked to them many times, and they don't have a solution yet for that. So, yeah, sorry for that.
Yeah, I put Hamachi on here. The only trouble is, if somebody else wants to use it, they have to have Hamachi on. But if you go to bring up the server, you just click on VPN, and that comes on. And then go ahead and run the server, and it works fine. We just got the audio level set yesterday. Bill was helping me, and so it seems to work fine now. We got it back up. We had a conflict, I think, with Windows 10. For whatever reason, I couldn't get the server. We couldn't connect half the audio through it. So I just grabbed another machine with Windows 7 on it and loaded everything in there. It works fine.
Yeah, Windows 10 security is crappy. Actually, it's good. It's better than Windows 7. That's why you cannot go over that. But it is what it is. I'm just listening here. KG2IS.
Yeah, well, they say, you know, you're supposed to be able to, even on Windows 7, you know, what programs do you want to allow through? And I did that, and it works fine on 7. And I tried that on 10. That wouldn't do it. I turned off all the firewalls, and that didn't do it. So I don't know. There's something in there fighting. I grabbed a whole fresh machine here. The only thing it had on it was the operating system, and I put Google Chrome on it and then downloaded the remote hams on it, and it works fine.
Yeah, last time I had upgrade Windows 10, whatever the version they put on my computer, that new Dell, I lost DX Cluster, okay? I use DX Cluster every day, and DX Cluster is always running all the time on that, computer PC, radio PC machine. And I lost it, so I cannot resolve this issue because, the ports are blocked, and I have to use different computer just for Telnet, just for DX Cluster. That's the issue with the Windows 10 and VPN. I had a similar issue. All right, guys, I gotta go to work. You know, wasted a few hours today. KG2IS.
See you later, Mike. KC3DR.
Are you down at the store, Mike?
No, I'm going there. I'm going there right now.
Yeah. Oh, dual remote, you know? Turn on a laptop if you got a chance.
I will. I always listening on the 3969 when I'm there. KG to it.
Okay.
Well, that's good to know. We better not talk about him then.
No more Polish jokes.
No. I like Polish jokes. There's no jokes. Everything is true.
Well, yeah, I better go and check in. She's moving around up there, so let me go see what's up, and I'll be back. But I'm glad you got that straightened out finally, Rick. But now the next test is to go out on the road and see if you can get into your remote.
Well, see, that's what's nice with having Bill on there, because he can try it, and if he gets in, I can get in. You know, it's not a problem. And I know when he logs in, I can see it right here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was funny when he was in on your machine. And, yeah, you could go into his machine and hear how you sound.
Well, and he can get on 160 a night. I'll turn this on so he can get in every night.
That was cool. Yeah, yeah. Let's see, Tuesday, where in the world is Roy? Boy, where's Roy? He should be popping in via remote.
No, I don't think he's into that remoting. I think that's just frustrating to him. So, because he hasn't been on. Well, we've all been here. Nobody's heard from him since he was dead. Last time I heard from him, he said, you know, he was on the remote here, and he was just north of Atlanta. And he has, well, you guys heard him, I guess, once.
Yeah. And I don't know what would the problem be. I mean, it's such a simple thing to use. You know, maybe we confuse them with, oh, turn on the compression, turn it on. You know, just the hell with it. The way he comes in is good enough. I think when you ask him to make adjustments, and that's where it gets too complicated. So the way whichever way he comes in is just fine. And we were hoping for a little progress report from time to time. Well, another one, too, would be good to hear from Steve. He's out in Arizona somewhere.
Yeah, well, we didn't get it loaded on him and get him set up, so that's what we'll have to do when he gets back. And, and you can walk him through it, and he's got some time. So I imagine he'll be heading back this way. Well, I thought he'd be home this weekend. Is that the plan or no?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. And I would think you want to plug in that 1200. Oh, man, that'll be something to hear. You know, good, clear audio and, right on frequency and, all the other stuff we take for granted.
Well, you'll have to walk him through some of the settings probably because, that's a learning curve on that radio compared to the old ones. And he's got everything he needs to hook the Way mic up and use it as a stationary base mic, including the stand, but he said he has a foot switch, and I don't know if he's got a quarter-inch plug on it or not. If he does, he can plug that in and have a foot switch right there, too.
Yeah, or just go in the back. There's the RCA phono jack in the back, and that's what I use for this one. I don't know. It just started out that way. I could use that. I like that new cord, it took two units, but actually it's more versatile where you have the XLR to XLR. So in case I want to plug it into a preamp, it would need to do that. So that all worked out good. That's a nice looking, cord, in place of the Heil.
I'll get a call when he starts to wire plugs and mics and connectors up. And I could give him that Sorensen, I forget, or that, and he had got all the XLRs and all that stuff. I'm sure I'll get a call when he starts to set it up.
No, he won't need to. I gave him a $45 Heil mic cord to plug right in the front of that radio.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. And I don't know what the state of his antenna is in there. I thought he got whacked or something. We may have to go throw some sinkers. Plus, his son has been working on a roof, so I don't know if anything got disturbed or what.
Yeah, that was the case. That was the case the last time, although it sounded all right. Boy, that'll be good to hear that 1200 up there. Yeah, very good. Well, it should be just like this one.
Yeah, I already got the audio, the widen thing in the audio memory, what is 107 or whatever it is. I widened it out for him so when he turns it on, he can go and select that. Yeah, he's got the mic connector from Heil. The one they make is in the front of the radio and has the push-to-talk switch and the XLR connector for his for that microphone, for the Way mic. So he's all set. I gave it all to him. I'm not going to use them, so he might as well get some use out of it.
Yeah. By the way, that was a good call by Bob on the audio. So you're not getting like right there. I know you were getting up to the mic, clear, coming in just fine. So that was a good call. Yeah, well, when you're away, it picks up the room echo, and it was a little boomy, but. Boy, this clean, nice, go back the mic a little bit and close talk the mic sounded good there, that last transmission.
Yeah, I like them girls, got that boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. All right, here, let me head upstairs. I'll be back, KB1AL.
Okay, sounds good. So, Mark, when are you going to energize that beast?
Okay, let me roll over here into this corner. Yeah, I got out in the middle of the floor here. It's getting close, Rick. I made a back panel the other day, and I put some connectors on. I redid a couple of the connectors. I want to make sure that the wires don't hang with the rear panel, that the connectors go out in the right direction, so that if I want to take the back panel off the connectors, I just got to undo the lockdown mounts and stuff like that. And I redid the power connector for the high voltage. Went to something a little bit heftier, and I got to cut a hole in for the port for the fan. I got to go down and kick around and see, look at all my plumbing stuff and see what I have that I can port the air into the back of the thing. I got to wire up a 15-pin DIN that does all the indicators and brings the 24 volts in, and then there's a 4-pin connector that brings in the AC for the filament transformer and for a fan, if I should have another internal fan. So I gotta wire all those wires up to go to the back panel, I would say at this point, it's getting close, but I'm not rushing anything. I'm taking my time with everything, but it's coming along.
And 1LF.
Ah, good. Very good. Well, I'll take you on that. My hat's off to you. I saw the pictures you took. Looks very nice, and good job on that so far. Yeah, keep posting the pics. That's interesting. Like to look at them. Hey, we're going to get out of here, too. Time to get some other things done, so we'll catch you later. KC3DR, we'll be clear.
Goodbye, Rick. And when you left.
Yeah, we'll catch you later, Rick. I'm off and on with doing this stuff and coffee. Yeah, it's pretty foggy up here up on the hill today, like Al was saying. It's really a soup and take a nap kind of day up here on the hill. Fog and rain and drizzle and stuff like that. Not a real great day today. We'll wait for tomorrow. Like he said, tomorrow's not going to be our sunny day. It'll be a little brighter, more cheerful. Go ahead, Al. AA1XP.
Yeah, the bands are stretching now. All right. Take care, Rick. We'll see you later. Did you look at those meters there? What'd you think of those?
Yeah, those were cute. I thought about from time to time about using digital panel meters, in on an amplifier instead of like analog meters. But I kind of moved away from that because I worry more about the amount of RF that's kicking around there. You'll buy piano meters and then they're usually in a plastic case, and you might get into them with the RF. So rather than I think that might be why most people will stay away from the digital stuff would be, everything's in a cheap plastic case surrounding it, and with all that RF, you'll worry about whether you'll be getting into the thing.
Well, Brian, KB3WFE, like I told you, down in Maryland, he has them in his E-Class rig, and they're made to take the RF there. He has it with everything, even the temperature of the rig there, because, he monitors the temperature for the FETs.
Yeah, okay, yeah, well, I could do that here, too, is like if I wanted to measure the temp, which would be interesting, the sockets are equipped with a hole over there where you can, that's on the input side, though. They have a thing there where you put the temperature, so I don't think too much heat would back down, or it wouldn't be a true reading of what's going on in the glass envelope, because those four holes for temperature on the are on the socket, and I don't know if that would be really indicative of what's going on with the tube.
Yeah, very good. All right, I'm going to cut out of here. I got a couple things I got to take care of there. So, all right, it's good talking to you. Yeah, I figured I saw that yesterday. The guy was up on 160. I didn't get a chance to talk to him. I should have got back to him because that was a very nice, well-built there rig that he had.
Yeah, he did a nice job on it. I did, you know, he just, and it's a lot of work, so anybody that exerts all of that effort. I like that he put the rheostat in for the filaments. I found a couple of rheostats downstairs, but this would be late data to be able to find enough. Well, I don't know, you know. I don't have anything on the front panel yet. Not a thing has gone into the front, the upper front panel, of course, for the tuning controls and clutch and stuff. But the lower part, the whole chassis front end, is totally undedicated at this point so far. So, you know, all that's going to go in there, there'll be like a half a dozen LEDs, two panel meters, you know, and an off switch. That's, you know, just some basic controls and some indicators. And push button for the reset, you know. But right now, the front panel doesn't have anything on it. I wonder if I even have, but see, so then that would put the rheostat, well, you know, you're going to be varying the primary, so it doesn't matter. You know, you can lead the long wires up to the front panel. I'll have to take a look and see about that. The other thing is, I put the rheostat in, and man, it's like everything is heavy now. At this stage of my life, you know, a gallon of milk is hard to work with me. I put that rheostat in there, and boy, the RF deck is going to get heavy.
Yeah, I pick up a gallon of milk, and I see my picture on it. Oh, I'm missing. Nobody's told me. But, well, the analogs are nice, but, I mean, the digital is nice in some features. I like analog a lot of times there. I definitely, and that's why I have my digital power SWR meter, the LP100A, but also I have a Daiwin analog meter, and that's one thing W1QJ told me, Lou. He says, an analog isn't going to show you any movement of anything, and that's when he tests his amp. He says, I want to see even a slight little movement in the power, whatever, if there's any kind of movement there. So that's what I have in line there, both of those meters. But I'm a big analog meter. And I would love to do my rack here of the audio system and just have a bunch of VU meters going all at the same time. I have them. I got them here somewhere. Had them there that I use on my Facebook page here. But yeah, all right. So now, good work. It looks very, very nice. Question: what are you doing to punch your holes out in your front panels? Are you using hole saws or you have green leaves?
Oh, no. You know, I just acquired a hydraulic Greenlee. It didn't have any of the, what do you call it? It didn't have that collar that you need, nor did it have any dies, but I've got the hydraulic section. I wish I did have a working Greenlee because I usually have to drill it out and you know, use just basic tools. So it's pretty work intensive, but a Greenlee would really, you know, be kind of nice, the way to go. But I don't have a functional one right now. And on the DPMs, I was going to get exactly into what you said. The other thing is the DPMs would be really quick response. So, you know, it would be bouncing around with every little twitch, and that might actually be confusing, not particularly to me, but to somebody else that might be down the line. Whereas the panel meter, you know, you're only seeing like 60% of anything that's got a quick response to it. You know, you're not seeing that because the analog meter smooths it out. But if he picked that because he wanted to see quick responses, well, then that's going to work for him.
Yeah, anyway, left. Yeah, last year, a friend of mine, I ran into him, and he says, he was at this up the line here in New York there, and he goes to these big, what you call it, open flea markets there. And he comes, he goes, come here, look. He opens up the Jeep there, and he's got these two big boxes. It says Greenlee's on them. And I says, he opens them up, and he goes, you should have seen all the punches that were there, the accessories, everything you can think possible of. Jeez, I forget how big they went, I mean, round, whatever. He says, look, here's even the punch for the back of the computer plugs. to punch a hole in, because I know a lot of guys that build rigs, and that's exactly what they use. They use those power cords from computers in that socket. He goes, that's even in there, Rob. I go, whoa, wait. He goes, how much you paid for it? The guy told me, he says, I don't know, $200 enough. He goes to the guy, he says, are you sure? You sure that's how much you want for bucks? He goes, yeah. He goes, I tell you what, it's worth more than that, but I'll give you 300. I'll give you 300 for that. He goes, you know, I can't just walk away from it. He goes, I got $300 on me. That's all I got. I'll give you that for you. He goes, yeah, here, take it. He says, I'll take the 200. The guy says, my friend says, here, take it. I said, talk about walking across the field of cows sitting out there in manure. I said, you would step in the right crap. I would step in the wrong crap.
Well, my greenly that I got there a couple of weeks, and I only got that greenly like a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago, something like that, was there in the dumpster. And I said, wow, that's nice. It had a couple of mandrels, but it didn't have the bottom collar for the support that dies. I said, I'll figure out. I'll put it down there. Maybe something will come along or somebody will want it or blah, blah, blah. You know, how much more building am I going to do? I didn't even see it like being a viable thing that I could get, but I thought maybe someone would come along and that's still a lot younger than me and that will be a builder and may see it at a flea market or something and would want it, you know, buy a collar and some dice and stuff like that, because you know, for a guy that likes to build, that's a real handy tool. I can't tell you how many panels I drilled and chassis across my lifetime here at home. You know, when I was in work, it was nothing, and that was the other, you're talking about DPMs and stuff. God, you know, I knew so many guys that were you know, with all the parts houses, you know, semi, you know, Kramer and I can't even think of the names anymore. I've been out of it for 10 years, but all of the parts dealers here, you know, Mauser, all of those guys used to come, and when you're in the development group, they call on you. They're trying to sell you all kinds of the you know, new different kinds of semiconductors, and to ask these guys, hey, can you sample me a couple of panel meters, or you know, this part or that transistor or stuff like that. You know, I could get that stuff like just as a favor. The guy would order the stuff and send it to me as samples. So that was a nice off junk of the job, that you know, you knew all these guys, and if you needed a part, you know, you could have it in a couple of days, and they would. Would just be a gimme.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't have a lot of tools here that I could have had and could have used. My father, you know, managed a machine shop for 35 years there. He was a foreman. And I can remember seeing all those green leaf punches there in the cases and stuff when I was younger. And, you know, I asked him what they were. He told me punches. I go, why are they sitting here in the back here? He says, we don't use them anymore because it has a sheet metal shop. So they got all the new, you know, sophisticated punch machines there, you know, all programmed. Programmable, they send it all. They had an electronic part up there, because there was a company called TransScience, with the son of the company started their garage door openers, and but they had that, and they did a lot of other work. They had a paint shop. My friend that lived down the street for me worked there. All the guys I knew worked there. So anything I needed, Mark, I hardly even had any drill bits at home, or what, you know, maybe a small set. But anything I ever needed, gave it to my father. He drilled it, tapped it, whatever, punched it out, or had something welded or whatever I need fixed. So I never had any of those tools at home there. And I'm sorry, because I ended up working at the shop, and there was a lot of stuff that you know, that was just sitting there dormant that they never used. I could have used. I could have got a tap-o-matic. I would love to have a tap-o-matic here. Gosh. Oh, my gosh. I could have one of those there. And but, you know, even if I was a ham radio operator and my father was that shop now, you know, imagine this stuff, you know, guys are going by out buying heat sinks. I would go to the machine shop and turn around and tell the guy, here, this is what I need, or do it myself. There, you know, I need a heat sink built to this is the fins and stuff like that, or a front panel with for the meters, the switches, everything. Put it on the machine, punch it out, send it up to over to my buddy in the paint shop, have him stencil it all and do nice, you know, build my own case bent all up instead of calling Buds or DigiKey, have it all cut and all the holes punched out to, you know, put the tubes or whatever. Ah, gosh, I would have been in seventh heaven back then.
Yeah, or even today, it's like, yeah, that's nice to have all those resources at your fingertips. It's like, makes life so much easier. And having some of the older vintage stuff, like Greenlee's and stuff like tools that have gone the way of the world, and they don't use them. They have all the automatic stuff in the, you know, program up the CNC machine and put the panel in it, and a thing will cut all the holes for on the CNC machine. So yeah, it's like all that stuff is nice, you know, to make life easier in the manufacturing sphere. You know, it's like, and it's just think of all that manufacturing that's left the state of Connecticut. I saw that they on the news there, electric boat. I forgot how many. I think they said something like 3,000 job hires they're going to do for upcoming stuff for electric boat. So that was good to see. Upcoming contracts, and they're going to bring, that some more jobs will blossom in Connecticut with electric boat again.
And when I think it was 1,800 jobs are going to be fulfilled, I think, in the next year or so. Yeah, well, you used to drive down Bridgeport and Stratford area, and you could smell the machine shop oil back when they were still using oil. They're using the liquid, water-soluble stuff now for cooling instead of oil. You know, we still use, some of the oil for tapping certain things there. But, Lycoma, Pratt and Whitney, all those places. I used to deliver. My father knew all those guys in those shops there. And I wanted to become one. My father didn't want me to get into the field at that time. He wanted to send me to electronics school and had a friend out there in NASA, and his plans were to get me into electronics and send me out to work for NASA. But I looked out the window and would rather be in the seat of a truck banging 13 speeds across the country. But my father always says, you know, as long as you're happy with what you're doing, that's what counts. So, but anyway, I still wish I went into that field. He got me into it because I would have really loved to become a gunsmith, because gunsmithing became very, very big and very profitable.
I thought I heard something in the background. The CEO is checking in. I'll have to go listen to see what she says. Yeah, well, you know, going into the electronics field, it was like, that was a lure of love for me. And I didn't make the best money that I could ever have made. And things come up in your life. And, you know, the path gets a little bit meandering along the way from, even as a young guy, you think what you would like to do. I mean, if the Vietnam War didn't come up, I became a college degree engineer, as it was. I became one anyway, but no degree. But it's like the difference between the degree to me would have meant, you know, yeah, probably an extra $1 million at least across a lifetime. And so you look at that in perspective. But what your father said was very true. All in all, with all my time in electronics, I only had one boss for only like 3 months that I didn't like. The guy was like a Nazi, man. He was well hated throughout the company where we were at. So I ended up getting laid off because, I think he knew that I wasn't in love with him. He was a token. And after a while, the guy who had put him in charge as the CEO, finally, the board of directors finally said, this guy is dragging my company into the gutter. everybody has hates the guy and all that. It took him a year or so to get to that point with the board of directors, but he finally got rid of them. Thank God for the people, because he was really, oh my God. But the rest of the time, all the rest of my career, I had great groups of guys that I worked with, great engineers I was working with, worked on, you know, all high-level projects. It was like, you know, it was nice. So what your dad said was, if you, you know, the money is one thing, but, you know, if you're happy going to work every day and doing, you love doing what you're doing, man, that's a big piece of it and a big reward, you know. It's just like, it was just a lot of great stuff to be working on across my lifetime, and I had a good time doing it, and I love the people I worked with, so, you know, that's worth just as much to me as the money.
You're exactly right. And my mother was a big one. If you're happy at your work, sometimes the money isn't always a thing, because you're making more money and more aggravation. And that's when my father even said, you know, yeah, being the boss, it looks good there. You're a big guy. But, you know, you got a lot of responsibility. You got to answer for everybody. And it's the same thing with me as a captain on the fire department, you know. And with my son there, I said, you know, he was complaining about this and stuff like that. He says, look, he's your officer. You do what he does. He says, you know, If anything comes out wrong, you know, then he's wrong. But as it is, it says you have to answer to him and abide by his orders. And I said to him, I said, you don't understand there. I says, it's not easy doing this. I says, because when you screw up, my butt gets chewed out before yours does.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting. They had a guy on from the cardiac care unit over in Hartford, one of the hospitals, St. Francis or, you know, Hartford Hospital, one of them from the cardiac care unit. And they were questioned about things. And he talked about how, you know, 40 years ago, the men were the more prone gender of people that had heart disease and heart problems. Then, like, let's say into the 90s through 2010, when all the women started going into the workplace, they outweighed the men again, you know, real greatly with heart disease and heart attacks. Now, in the last 10 years, since the economy was rough, and it went the other way again. Now it's the male that has, and it's like five times greater or something. It was a big percentage drop of, you know, the stress that you take on with the job, whether you're male or female, you know, has a lot to do with the quality of your life and health. So it's like, and I'm sure, you know, other environmental things and everything kick in too. But man, it's interesting. It jumps from one gender to the other gender. Then you can clearly look at some of the other things. Well, what's changed between women and men? Heart conditions and heart disease cycles. You know, you got to look. Well, why is that this flips around like that? And boy, I would think that stress on the job is one of them.
And more so nowadays, you know, everything is, the things, the cost of everything, you know, got to get things out this quick. You know, everybody wanted it there yesterday. And there is so much stress in workplaces now. There are not any companies anymore that, like I used to work with, they cared about you. I worked for a company, Connecticut Plumbing Supply, in Stamford there. We hauled all the tri-state area. We were all the way down to Philly at times, all the way up to Holy Old Mass there, and you know, we had four trucks rolling every single day, and then a couple of small trucks. But they treated us good. You know, we worked 5 days a week. We got an hour overtime every day. You know, no Saturday and Sundays. If you did your run, you came back early. You were sick with everything. You wanted to go home. You go home. You got paid for it. You know, as long as your truck there, they took care of you. And I was very, very happy with them. It's just unfortunately the economy went stuff there, you know, because companies like IBM and all the mechanical buildings that were taking care of IBM, you know, when IBM started slowing down, IBM wasn't remodeling or adding anything. So, you know, the trickle-down effect. So, you know, we weren't delivering as much there. And I was part of the lower part of the pool there. So, you know, I went first. But that was probably one of my best jobs I've ever worked at. A company took care of us. And then after that, you know, there was other places that just weren't as good. But, yeah, that takes in a factor, you know. Look at Amazon. Amazon, we've had how many number of trucks of Amazon tractor-trailers coming out of Wallingford in motor vehicle accidents? Because you know why? Look what you go on Amazon, you buy something, you could get it the next day. So you can imagine the pushing and shoving and people down, you know, driving people in. Come on, get it out. We got to get it out. We got to get it the next day. All the way from the people that are, you know, Amazon are buying or their warehouse, right down to the carrier that's getting it to the post office or UPS. How much stress is pushed on there? All right, I was going to cut out there. I heard my dog's butt hit up against the door, and so that's my old coot, my Lily, my best friend. So she probably wants to come down here. She loves the radio room. She'll sit down here, even when I'm not down here, and just listen to everybody on the radio. So, Mark, good project you're doing. Good luck with it there, and keep posting pictures. Yeah, if I find anything else that, you know, maybe if you need or something like that, you probably already have it. It's just in the basement. Let us know. N111, until later on your listening dial. Seven threes.
Yeah. Lastly, you mentioned Amazon.com, and it just jogged my mind because it was only a couple of days ago. I don't know if you watched the Oscars or not. Did you, Al?
No, I really don't watch those. I may catch something on the news, the recaps later, or something on Facebook or YouTube. But no, I really don't watch. I very seldom watch the address of the President of the United States. And this is the first time in years that I watch any president the address to the Union. And I'm not going to get into a political thing. And probably, you know, everybody has their own opinion. They're like, you know what? Everyone has one. But I thought the speech went very well and stuff like that. But no. So what happened?
You know, it's one of the spots, you know, a couple will come out at a time and they do some comedy, they do some singing and all this stuff. Well, Chris Rock and Steve Martin came out, right? And they're throwing one-liners at different celebrities in there. And Chris Rock goes, look, what's his name? He goes there. The richest man in the world is here at the Oscars tonight. He goes, oh, Chris Rock goes, oh, man, he says, he got divorced, Steven, and he's still the richest man in the world. And Steve Martin is looking at Chris Rock and he says, do you want to add anything, Chris Rock? Says to Steve Martin. Steve Martin says, no, I want to get my packages on time.
Two great people. I love Chris Rock. a great comedian, and so is Steve Martin. Actually, Steve Martin is a really, really good banjo player. I like Steve Martin. I liked him for years when he first was doing stand-up way back before Saturday Night Live and so on there. Yeah, and he's played with quite a few good people. One of them, he did a set there with Earl Scruggs, who is probably one of the best banjo players ever. And, I mean, the type of picking that he does is even named after him. So yeah, I'll look that up on YouTube. I'll check that out. That's good. That's Steve Martin for you. All right, again, Mark, 7-3, then when you left, exit stage left.
All right, we'll see you. Have a good afternoon here. I'm gonna go put a coffee on and wet my whistle here, and I'll sit back and listen a little while, watch the fog, and the day will go by. All right, we'll catch up with you later, Alf. Have a good one. AA1XT.
W31AL. Papa Mike.
Yeah. Hey, Artie.
You put me to sleep, Al.
Yeah, you know, see, now here's a case of where I'm listening over here on the SDR to some AMers, and I left the rig here. So, well, that's like dual receive. Pretty cool.
Where are you listening to the AMers? On this band or on what do you call it, 40?
No, over here. No, they're just talking about old school times. But, you know, that's there's a good use for, you know, what I've been doing here with the SDR. So you could like leave this rig here. In fact, what I did was, in the meantime, I shut everything down and I moved the power supply out of the way. It was like front and center here, and the damn, you know, it's so big, and there's no need for it. So I did that, and while I was doing stuff around the shack here, just listening to the A. Those are the only ones on the band, and then I heard you here. So yeah, that's now there. Like I said, and I've had this happen before. You know, where you go listen elsewhere, and you can keep the rig here. So cool stuff.
These are the guys on 3885.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, they're on 8.6 right now, but, yeah, they're on AM over there. And, yeah, just, you know, eavesdropping.
I think I was over there one night. I stopped by one afternoon. I stopped by there. The radio here will do 25 watts on AM, and with the ACOM, I think that brings me up to square around 500, and they do hear me, which is kind of surprising.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, but of course, you know, yeah, and these amps will bring it up that way, too. But, of course, it's continual duty on AM, so it's usually a quarter. You don't want to run it more than a quarter of the full output. So, you know, but even with any amp I choose here, I wouldn't run AM more than about 150 watts or so. You'll probably go up to 250 without a problem. But, yeah, that's AM is tough on the equipment, KV1AL here.
I'm just pulling out the ACOM, we call it here, manual here. And I think, if my memory serves me correctly, I think this will work. 500 watts continuous on AM without a problem.
Yeah. No. No way. No way. It'll melt. You could do it, but it won't last long. Real short transmissions. No, the conventional way of looking at that is AM is for a, like, for instance, even a regular rig, if it's a 100 watt rig, when you go to AM, it'll be 25 watts. So that's the way power works, because you're running two sidebands with AM plus the you know, the audio in the center. Of course, it's low level modulation. It's not plate modulated, but. So, yeah, conventional wisdom is to run it at a quarter of the max. So if it's a 1,000-watt rig, the most you want to run it at is 250, and then you want to leave a little headroom there and then bring it down about 150. So, yeah, it would be, yeah, you know, and it would be the similar setting for RITI. RITI is a continual duty, a continual 100% duty cycle also. So, in fact, that's the big thing that Rob was looking for. He was looking for an amp that would handle continuous duty AM on a long transmission. And yeah, you go one quarter the full output. Which is interesting that the old rigs The old rigs, like the DX100s, the you know, the old rigs, how they well, of course, they used to fool you. They used to talk about input. You know, back in the day, remember how they used to go peak power for audio amplifiers? And hell, you didn't know what the hell you were getting. You know, they didn't. Now they have a standard of RMS ratings for audio amplifiers, and it was the same thing with RF amplifiers. Here, this Heathkit is rated at a 2 kW linear amplifier, but that's input power. You know, balls to the wall input power, and you know, so they play games, but yeah, continual duty is tough on her, and that's why sideband is just so much easier on equipment.
Well, according to the ACON here, they say the LED indicator above RTTY illuminates the required operating parameters are changed to reduce tube dissipation. In the RTT mode, the amplifier output power is reduced to a maximum of 500 watts. There's no need to adjust the tuning when charging or when changing between RTTY and normal modes. So that's interesting. I'm trying to find information pertaining to AM.
Yeah, probably not too much there. Well, anyway, I did run an amp once at 500 watts. I had an AL80, and what the hell, you know? Let's go about 400, 500. And I, you know, was making like a 2-minute transmission. I said, "Geez, holy mackerel, that thing get hot." And some of the, you'll hear some stories about some guys running AL80Bs, you know, hot. So hot that the pins of the tube melt. So, yeah, continual duty is tough. I mean, you got to figure. In fact, they tell you to run these amps in AM, you should change the fans into higher velocity fans and, you know, all kinds of things. And yet it's a mode that is not as efficient as sideband. So you're banging the hell out of the equipment, and you're not getting out as well as you would on sideband. So, but yet it's a semi-popular mode. It's a good crew down there for sure on 3885. They, I'm not a fan of the long transmissions, but when they're hacking around, it's fun.
It's just another mode to communicate. Right now, I'm pushing a little bit better than 400 right now, but it's coasting at 400. I mean, it's a roughly a 700 watt amplifier. So, I see what the fan does a pretty good job of keeping it cool, and
it's a 2-year warranty,
and we're putting it through its paces.
There's a lot of wisdom to that. That's a good thing to do. In fact, one of the guys, he had the 2000, like I told you, that 2100 or the 2000, and he left it on for about 2 weeks straight. He just left it on. He'd get on, you know, various bands, and he just wanted to just, you know, make use of that warranty. So he left it on. So one day we're talking, we're on 160, and he had a fine, and you know, it wasn't like any kind of a mismatch. He had a dipole for 160. I think at the time it was fed with 450 line. He might switch it over to coax, but I mean, you know, there was no mismatch, there was no disconnection. And so all of a sudden, the amp shut down, and he reset it. There was a reset button, and the code comes out. It prints out, or it, you know, it's on the LED. The code said, had some kind of a quirk, and he didn't think much of it. And then it happened a second time about a month later. And then the third thing that happened was, the final amp started drawing excessive current. So, yeah, he sent it in, and now it happened a second time. So we're waiting to see what he did. He was going to go...
present his case to DX Engineering. And look, I don't want this thing anymore. It's already been in, and the same problem came up. There's a problem here in this thing. So he was waiting. And it's within, I'd say, I don't think he had it more than 4 months. And so we're waiting to see how they take care of him.
Well, there is that 2-year warranty, so I guess for, I think DX Engineering is the authorized service center for ACOM. I didn't buy mine from DX Engineering, I bought mine from HRO. But you do have that 2-year warranty, so yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they make good on it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, are they going to be, hard ass about it and say, well, I'm sorry, we'll offer to fix it again, but no, you can't have another. Come on. The same problem reappears after you send it in to one of their authorized tech centers to fix the problem. The same problem happens. Yeah, that's a problem. And that has, that's the, the double what you got there. And then some. That ACOM 2100, you should be able to get 1800 watts and better out of that. And he wanted, even 2000 watts, and he wanted to just coast along at 1500. It's not like he pushed it, and sitting there in standby, and the current starts going up on its own. Oh man, what's going on here?
Well, the first time they didn't get it fixed right at DX Engineering, so you know what? If you had to send it back the second time, you should have sent it back to the factory.
Yeah. Well, all right. It just went back for one time. It was supposed to be a factory authorized repair center. So, I don't know. So we'll. Yeah, like I said, he was gonna talk to DX Engineering yesterday, and we're waiting for him to come. But you know what he had as a spare, and it's a good thing he did. Here's the thing: on 160, it's good to have an amp, especially late at night. In fact, conditions yesterday really deteriorated, but you needed an amp if you wanted us in there. So he switched over to his standby AL88, and worked fine.
Oh, it's a good thing you had another amplifier. All right. I'm going to step away. I'm going to have some lunch. I got to go back to the yard in a few hours. So I say 7-3 out. You hold on the fort. I guess it's nice to have a dedicated radio listening here and then still be able playing on another radio. KB1AL into XDM.
All right, Artie. Good to catch you there. All right. We'll be on the side. And in this gloomy looking Tuesday. Take care, KB1AL.
Yeah, I just had my vegetable soup. That helps out a little bit, Al. Alpha Alpha 1 X-ray Papa. I just wanted to share one with you. Did you see the Academy Awards or the Oscars there the other night?
Well, I caught some excerpts on the news. We didn't actually watch it, but I hear it was quite political.
Well, I wanted to share one with you and Artie there. They, how they have couples come out and introduce acts and read the different winners and stuff. There's usually a couple people came out. Well, what you would call it, Chris Rock and Steve Martin came out together. And what do you call it? They start doing one-liners at different people in the audience. Steve Martin, wow, he says, look at that, Brad Pitt right in the front row, man. It's like looking in the mirror. He throws that one at Brad Pitt. But the best one was Chris Rock. Chris Rock goes, holy cow. He says, look at that, right in the first couple of rows there. He goes, the richest man in the world. What's his name? Bezos there from Amazon.com. And they put the camera on him, And Chris Rock goes, oh, yeah, well, he pulled around. He had a nice girlfriend there on his outside, and you know, he got snagged, you know, he had to get divorced. And Mr. Wright goes, and he's still the richest man in the world. He turns to Steve Martin and he says, do you want to say anything? Do you want to throw anything in? And Steve Martin goes, looks at Chris Rock, he goes, no, I want to get my packages on time.
We've watched the rise of Bezos. Well, they got those sultans over there in, you know, in Kuwait now. And, you know, I don't know if they're properly reporting what they're worth. But other than that, and then there might be some Russians that are, you know, they're over there stealing all our information. So, you know, they may be worth a lot, too. But it's between Bill Gates and Bezos, one versus the other. And they're in the areas, you know, each one is in the area of worth $75 billion.
Yeah, I just like the one-liners that Rock and Steve Martin did. It was good. I shared that with Alf before. We were yakking a little bit. Oh my God, that was funny. Oh, he got the fortune. He's still the richest man in the world.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. She made out good, but he had something else he threw out. It was a little, of course, you know, Chris Rock is known for that. You know, he'll come up with something that's, he really say that? Yeah, there was something else that was in the news that he came out with that was a little outrageous. So, yeah, he's a guy. He's, and of course, Steve Martin. Yeah, you got to talk about the who's who. They said they're lucky that canopy didn't cave in on them. They said that it started raining. It was like a flooding rain. And here they're walking in with their expensive dresses, the gals, and, they're trying to interview. And they said that the tent almost collapsed on everybody.
Boy, I didn't hear that. Yeah, that's crazy, man. Anyways, it was okay. It was an interesting Oscar show and stuff like that. And that guy Phoenix, he had stuff to say, and it was good. I found it to be kind of entertaining, and it's interesting that foreign film. What was it? Pesticide. I can't remember what the heck it was. That ended up winning Best Picture. Well, actually, it won a few different categories.
Yeah, Parasite, yeah, and it's a Vietnamese guy or Korean guy who directed it, and I think that, I don't even know if that's in English. Oh, yeah, good movie, yeah, what did they say? I don't know. Yeah, so you have to read the subtitles, so I have no idea what it's about, but yeah, it got all kinds of praise. And, what's his name? Brad Pitt got an Oscar, too. Yeah. It's something when, you know, you see these great actors and you don't realize they have not, you know, some of them have not received any awards for all the great parts that they did and the great work they did. And, you know, here finally Brad Pitt gets his. You know, the famous, and it's amazing. Once you become nationally known, to be recognized by a billion people, that's saying something.
Yeah, I was. There were some moments there in the thing there. Yeah, I can't, and I just can't. I keep wanting to say pesticides. Oh man, I can't. I wonder what the movie's about myself. You know, that's the thing I was getting to. Jesus, and we haven't gone to see a movie. We don't even do what do you call it, Netflix anymore. We finally had it over a couple of years, and we're not ever using it, and you know, no time, or it's just so we canceled that too. It's just like that was all wasted money. So And we haven't gone to the movies in a long time. We got to go to a movie here pretty soon, just for the heck of it. But of course, a lot of the, you know, the movies business are dying because Hulu and all these Amazon and all these other people are featuring in Netflix. And, you know, I guess that's where the box office makes their money, is by, you know, making it available to all those second source people and really going and sitting down in the theater. Although Ron has told me you guys have got quite the theater down there in Southbury to go watch a movie. I said, Ron, you go to watch a movie, we got to watch out you don't fall asleep.
Yeah, waste your money. Yeah. With the lounge chairs and all that, and well, we got the Netflix too, and you know how they. Tell you how it comes about. We were watching the Roosevelts, and it was a series. You know how they went, you know, all the way from Teddy Roosevelt onto FDR, and you know it was like a 10-part series. So they gave you, and here's how they got you: they gave you part one and two free, and then well, if you want to continue, you'll have to get Netflix. So you know, and of course all the other stuff. So all right, we'll get it. And yeah, not that we use it that much either, but. Over on, you know, Amazon Prime. Now, we do get the Amazon Prime. So, you know, now we got that one, too. And because for the shipping and all that, you know, and that is well worth it, you know. So we'll just order stuff. I even order dog food. Eukanuba, they don't carry around here. You know, that's supposed to be like, you know, one of the better dog foods. Well, hell, we'll just order free shipping. Same price as in the store. I'll order today. It'll come in here tomorrow. or so, I don't know why. One of the stores here, ShopRite, is not carrying Alpo, you know, which will mix with it, you know, take like a cheap canned food, mix it in with the better, you know, dry food. And oh, man, she's putting on some pounds, which is good. And the dog, too. But these outfits, part of the cost is they're going into their own production. There are a lot of great movies and series. Geez, we watched one, and it's over now. And stay tuned for season two of this show. Oh, geez. It had to do with a river. I was a great show. It had about like 9 episodes, you know. Stay tuned for season two. So, you know, wait. But anyway, a lot of these places have their own production and were part of the cost. And I said, wow, look at this. Another Amazon-produced movie, huh? And then they got like Jack Ryan. There's another good one. You know, but you got to sit down and watch these things, you got to, you know, devote the time. But I'll tell you, it gets so bad watching the commercials and how they've just ruined regular commercial TV with 5 minutes of, you know, commercials in a block. I mean, you could go over there and, start crunching up your pot of kapusta in between the commercials. KB1AL here.
Edwin AHA.
Hey, there he is. He woke up out of the lounge chair. I'm not going to use him without further ado, Al.
Go ahead, yeah.
I don't know what that means, further ado. Yeah, I was just trying to resurrect my wife's old neck. That was something else. Playing with FDA. No, I was listening for a while I was doing my other stuff. Incidentally, we went to see 1917 last night downtown at that luxurious theater of ours. We got new seats already. And it's quite a movie. I recommend it. It's quite a movie. Just the scenery and the effects and stuff is just so realistic. Highly recommend it. I couldn't stand the Oscars. I finally gave up and went to read a book. Yeah, your comment about the Bezos. I am not a Bezos fan, but I think that was a little over the. Yeah, a little too much from the 77 there.
Sure,
watch where he walks out. the guy in the front row has a lot of full N1 AHX.
So how the heck are you, Ron? Yeah, we haven't heard you out here in a while. Hope all is well. And the old Coots frequency has been quite active. And there's another crew that stumbles in here again at about 2 to 4 or 5, and oh my God, you could be on the radio 24 hours around here. So anyway, how you doing, Ron?
Yeah, I'm doing. And basically, in pain management, and it's all because of my stupid back is falling apart. And it's just enough. It's not going to talk about that. You know, the old age disease where you just collapse and stuff. So I've been to the hospital every now and then, getting a prednisone shot in my back, and it lasts for a while. And in fact, the last two appointments, I didn't see, I needed to feel whatever thing I have. Until I can't sleep. That's just another story. But as long as I'm sleeping, I don't want to get shot. So that's about it. You know, I haven't been doing that much of anything. I'm afraid to hurt my back further. Trying to do stuff outside. Oh, incidentally, the big news is we have a new dog. It's a Shih Tzu. He's now about 15 weeks, and he's a pain in the butt. And someone asked me to explain what that means, that name, but that's what he is, and he's doing his butt. I see a lot of work. I don't want to age, right?
Well, yeah. I'm trying to say, what was your dog's name, Ron?
Gordon. No, Button. Button.
That's right, Button. Okay, right. Yeah. And now I was thinking back what you said about the dog food and cat food and ordering it through Amazon.com, and you get it there and it's fresher and it's really good, the product, and healthy and stuff. It's all the food that's been shown up the last year or two in our grocery stores, that, you know, salmonella and, this food poisoning and that food poisoning and the fish and the pierogies or whatever you buy and all the lettuce, romaine lettuce and all the things you got to worry about, you go to a name brand store and you got to still worry about all bad stuff. It could get to be like the old days, when the poor people were homeless, they used to eat dog food and cat food, and heck, hey, it's liable to be that stuff is healthier than the regular grocery stuff now.
Well, I opened that can up, that Alpo, and I mean, they got one there that's, boy, it's like a stew, and it reminds me of, remember when they used to have Dinty Moore stew? Hey, those were good, I said, gee, this looks like Dinty Moore, I said, hey, Coco, wait a minute, a little bit for me, a little bit for you.
Yeah, they you wonder why they went under or what happened. They didn't go under. They just went into the supplying food for the dogs instead of people.
Yeah, they got vegetables in there and everything, a nice syrup. And I said, oh, look at this. Cocoa. This we'll be fighting over a can of dog food. Hey, that's but good for you, Ron, to jump back in the dog situation. I know, who else is waiting to do that is is my KG2IS. His Rex, the boxer, died last year, and I know that hit him hard. Although he's got his wife's dog still there, but that Rex was good. It was a cute picture. He used to have the 2 meter rig around Rex's neck. Rex used to run out there, and somebody said, are you getting hemolysis? And he was gonna get a license for Rex so he could use the 2 meter rig, and Coco's come back now. She had some issues, and she's back to being a pup. I mean, 8 years old, and really, they are a great companion. And I've thought about that too. At this stage, do I really want to get, you know, if something happened to Coco, and you know, would I get into another one? And as you're getting up in years, and you know, what do you, you know? But damn it, they're just great companions, even though it's got you running. I bet you get you out there, right? How about it, Ron? KB1AL.
Well, that's the other thing too. Is I'm thinking of I got to befriend a buddy here on the air or somewhere in town or something. That's a vet, you know. The vets go to college for like 8 years. Doctors go to medical school for like 4 years. And it seems like you know, the vets do a better job. I'll get myself a good case of Alvo and get myself a buddy that's a vet, and I'll be doing better.
Yeah, well, they do good at the bank, that's for sure.
Hey, Roger, I'm glad Coco is doing good. You mentioned dogwood. I don't know, she found Alpha somewhere, and she mixes it with some kind of a stuff, I don't know. What else you were talking about? But yeah, he's been quite a at that age, he's quite a handful of small puppies. And, I mean, what do you want for Christmas? To grow up? Well, I think what she wanted was to have me a companion. She's going on a lot. And he and I button in the eye. My son asked me if a name, yes, it would work.